is Pat Tormey. I'm here to introduce you to another session of Azure, One Step at a Time, and today we'll be talking about virtual machines. We'll start here at my Azure dashboard. I'm signed in with my MSDN account, and one of the reasons we're doing this series on One Step at a Time is because if you look at all the things you can do in Azure, it can be pretty intimidating from the very start. So what I like to do is take a couple minutes and show people how you can get something done by just using one of the features of Azure and be productive in a very short period of time. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go after virtual machines. I'm going to click on this button for a virtual machine, and it says I have no virtual machines to display. So I'll pick Add, which is very consistent across the user interface. And it says, what would you like for a virtual machine? Now this I find fairly amazing. There are so many choices here, I don't know if anybody understands them all, but they're here. For example, you might want to pick a Windows Server. I've used a Windows Server a number of times in conjunction with some of my clients. I'll let you take a minute and peruse this for yourself. Yellowfin, Oracle Database, SQL Server, IBM, SharePoint, Java, BizTalk, Barracuda Web Application, Visual Studio, and Visual Studio Pro 2015, and whatever Puppet Enterprise is. Anyway, we build them all exactly the same. What you do is you pick out the one that you think you'd like. In my case, I think we should take a look at the Visual Studio Professional. Now, I sometimes spin up a version of this because I can put a lot of horsepower behind it and get some chunking done on my code in a much faster way. It says here, Visual Studio Professional 2015 with Universal Windows. Okay. Now, my choices here are select a deployment model. I'm just going to leave it in Classic. The choice is Classic and Resource Manager. And I'll say Create It. I'm going to give it a host name. And I'm going to call it Foursquare VS 2015. Just so when I see it, I'll have some clue what I was starting out to do. My username, Pat Tormey, and a secret password. I'm going to leave it in the standard. In this case, I'm going to leave it in my BizSpark and leave it in the East US. And now I just have to tell it to create it. And we'll let that spin for a little bit. Okay, that took about 5 minutes, but I spared you having to watch it spin. So now we have something in here called Foursquare VS 2015. Let's see what it gave us. So let's figure out how we can connect up to it. When you look at a virtual machine, as far as you're concerned, you're just going to remote desktop into it. But options here are settings, connect, start, restart, stop, capture, reset remote, and of course delete it. Now when you have a virtual machine, you are paying for the disk space that it's using. However, when you stop it, you'll still be paying for the disk space, you just won't be paying for the compute time, as I understand it. You'll want to check the documentation on that. I'll say I want to connect. Now it's giving me this little thing down here, and what it is, if you look at the extension on that, it's remote desktop something or another. So I'm going to say, okay, I want to view that in the downloads. And when I clicked on the download file, it says I have an unknown publisher, and I'm going to connect to it anyway. I'm going to tell it I want to use another account because I want to log in under the domain that I registered there as Pat Tormey, and my secret password. And tell it to remember my credentials. And the next thing I see is a little pop-up window, and it asks me if I want to connect to that computer, and it says that my certificate is not from a trusted authority. But I trust Microsoft. pops up on the other screen, and I'll move it over here so you can see it, is my login to the Foursquare VS2015 cloudapp.net computer. Now, because it's the first time hitting this machine, it's going to take a little while to get me set up. So I'll pause this until everything's done. Okay, as you can see, it's popped up with a brand new instance for me to play with. And I'm going to go ahead and tell it that I do not want it to connect to my other machines, only because we haven't set up the IP address for that. You could, of course, choose to do that. With the right permission, you can connect it up and part of your own network at your office. Now, because of my screen size here, you can't quite see the bottom line here, but as you see, I have a Windows 10 machine. If I pull this button up here, I have all the Windows 10 choices you'd expect to find: File Explorer, Settings, Power Settings. But I'm going to go right into Visual Studio. And I'm just running Visual Studio to prove to you we have a full-grown machine here. So now we have Visual Studio started. You can see that what I have is a D drive with, 98 gigabytes of storage and 7168 megabytes of RAM. As far as we're concerned, this is exactly like an on-prem PC, except a remote desktop to it, but you can do that with your on-prem ones too. So the quick look here tells you that you can actually get up and running in a very short time with a brand new virtual machine. Let's go back and see what would happen if we went to configure it. I'm going to tell it's okay for me to log out now and go back into Microsoft Azure. Now again, looking at the Foursquare virtual machine, there's a couple of things you might want to play around with. First of all, there's the size you could change. And right now I'm currently using the standard D2 2 cores, 7 gigs of RAM. That'd be this choice right here. But if I had a project that I really wanted to hammer on a bit, I could bump it up with the corresponding increase in cost. And I'll just say I'd like to have that one. Select it. And it's resizing the virtual machine for me. We'll go back and take a look at that in just a second. The other option that might be useful for you is the disks. In this case, you may have disks that you reuse and save that you like to use across different machines. For example, you could have one that has all the data on it, or your test data, or your test suite. And then all you'd have to do is add that disk in right here by attaching an existing disk. Let's go back and see what happened with our new virtual machine in the new size. It says it's successfully updated. Let's see what that means to us. Now, because we reconfigured everything, I'm going to have it go ahead and restart. And you'll see it now says that it has the D3, 4 cores, 12 gigabytes of RAM. It says here he successfully restarted the machine, so I'm going to go back, hit the connect button. I don't have to, my previous connection should still be good, but I'll open it anyway. And it took a minute for it to catch up, but here we have popping up in the other monitor. You can now see I have the more massive machine ready for me to go to work. Now I have a couple of virtual machines I use, one small one I keep spinning almost all the time for a client who has a very busy project generating reports in PDF formats, and so that works out very well for that. But I like to spin up a development machine for myself every now and again as either a playground or something fairly meaty like this one is to get some work done faster. Anyway, I'm going to log off of this again, in which case it's just a disconnect, power, disconnect, and jump back over, because there's one thing you always want to do if you don't need the machine, and that's to tell it to stop. Do you want to stop that machine? I'll say yes. The reason is when the compute time is running, when the machine's actually online, you're paying by the hour for the compute time. When it's back to just a disk drive that's not yet loaded, that virtual machine, I believe, doesn't cost you much of anything. It's up to you to keep track of what those costs might be. So here you have it again, it's Microsoft Azure, and this is Pat Tormey, and I'm showing you one step at a time how to use virtual machines.